Welcome to this artist talk. My name is Debbie Lander. I'm one of the creative producers working on the performance tonight, and I'll be chairing this discussion this evening. The subject of this artist talk is outdoor arts practice, and we're here to explore the use of the environment and landscape as a subject and a site for art. So that's kind of the topic of the conversation this evening. And joining us tonight are two internationally renowned artistic directors who are more than qualified to talk on this subject, having directed and designed numerous critically acclaimed productions since the 70s, and also have worked in a wide range of locations, from harbours to beaches to city centres and forests. And both of our speakers this evening made a conscious, active decision to move out of the black box theatre, like we are consequently in this evening, and at different stages in their careers. So we're here to find out why, and actually what motivates them to work in the outdoors, and in often what is extremely physically challenging and technically complicated environments in which to stage quite large-scale theatre works. And as they are both extremely expert at managing highly unpredictable conditions like weather and also large crowds of roaming people, we'd like you to think up some particularly challenging questions for them as well this evening. And we're going to open up to the floor once we've had a discussion between our speakers here. And just to be clear on the context for this event, this talk forms part of the performance we're doing tonight on Greater Manchester's waterfront, which is Waterfalls, which I hope you'll be attending. It kicks off around 9:30. And this is a really rare opportunity to actually engage in a dialogue with two great masters, I think I'd like to say, who have actually been working for a very long time in an increasingly popular social art form. Just a little bit of housekeeping. The talk's going to run till 8. My job is to keep it to time. I'll do my very best to do that. I think it'd be probably a good idea if you could turn off your mobile phones now. And also, Bruno is going to be speaking in French. So we have Cindy joining us, who's going to be interpreting what Bruno says into English, and what I'm saying, and what Bill is saying, and what you'll be saying. Into French. So we're going to try and speak in as plain English as possible and to be quite slow in speaking to make Cindy's job a bit easier. So I'd like to start off by giving a bit of background and firstly to introduce Bruno Schnibelin, who's the artistic director of Illotopie. And Illotopie is one of France's most best-loved theatre companies, and they do spectacular large-scale works, and you're very fortunate to be able to see one of them tonight. And I think this production that you'll see later really illustrates his profound imagination, for one thing, but also his extraordinary technical skill and conceptual art craft. And Bruno built up his practice by studying sociology alongside doing live performances in the 70s in Paris. And he's evolved his practice through quite an eclectic background, which has included technical direction, lighting design, set design for performing arts and for free jazz and for theatre. And he also likes to construct boats. I hear he loves colours, which you'll see very clearly in the performance tonight. And he also had the fortunate opportunity to study with Baudrillard. And for those of you who aren't familiar with this French sociologist, his philosopher, who was associated with the postmodernist movement. But Bruno cleansed himself of the city after his first encounter with a little island in the Camargue in France in 1978. And then a year after leaving the city, he set up Illotopie. We did a lot of interventions and interactions with public space and ordinary everyday life, and also moved towards a special focus on landscape, and in recent years, pretty much its most attention on working with water as a site. And Bruno's had a lifestyle that's quite extraordinary. He's performed his work in over 50 countries in the last 30 years. And his most recent work, which was called Anapos, Which has just been showing in Marseille, European capital of culture, where him and his group of 20 or 30, I think, so performers, built a whole aquatic village where you could sleep in a hotel, in a mattress, inside a huge pod on the ocean. Really beautiful. So let's give a warm welcome to Bruno. And then from the other side of the channel, we have Bill Mitchell. And Bill Mitchell is the artistic director of Worldworks. And Bill has a slightly different background. He's a visual artist who trained as a theatre designer. And he worked in conventional theatre for many, many years. Far too many, I think he says, nowadays. And in 1987, Bill moved to Cornwall, and there was actually no conventional theatres there at the time, other than the Minac. In fact, there were no theatres at all, as far as I understand it.
No theatres with a roof.
So Bill joined Knee-High, which is a very well-known UK performance company, well, Cornwall's national theatre, really. And then he found himself designing productions in beaches and quarries and forests for about 18 years. So he went outside at the end of the 80s. And Bill now runs a company called Worldworks, which he left Knee-High in 2005 to set up. And he set up Worldworks specifically to experiment and develop his passion for what he calls landscape theatre, that we can probe a bit more in the discussion. And Worldworks is actually quite unique because it solely focuses on making site-specific work in very unconventional locations, and particularly with the permission of the people who live in the community around which he's making work. So I think, you know, like the name of his company, Worldworks, one of the principles of Worldworks too is that they hunt story in the locations in which they work. So Worldworks has made very extraordinary performances under Bill's direction. And one of the most recent, I think it was recent or larger productions anyway for sure, was The Passion of Port Talbot, which was made in collaboration with Michael Sheen and the National Theatre of Wales, and which won Bill and Michael a joint TMA Director of the Year Award for 2011. And Bill, like Bruno, has worked all over the world, so we're in very good company tonight, and to find out exactly why it is that these crazy gentlemen choose to work in some really unruly environments. So Bruno, I'd like to really kick off with you as the artist in residence here at Media City, and to really ask you what motivates you to work in the public space and create theatre outdoors. Why do you do it?
I didn't go out to look for landscapes, but for society.
Parce que dans la boîte noire, dans le théâtre, il n'y a pas toute la société. Il y a un petit morceau de nos sociétés.
Because in this box, which is the theatre, there is not a whole society. There are only pieces of societies.
Le théâtre, c'est une pratique. C'est pas un bâtiment.
Theatre is a practice. It is not a building.
Je suis allé rencontrer ma société dans l'espace.
I went to meet my society into space.
And are you coming from the same place in terms of what motivates you to work outdoors?
I'll describe my experience. It ties up towards the end. It took me a long time to find it, but I did spend a lot of time working inside theatres. I did realise or got a little bit baffled why I was working in some places and who the audience were in these places. And in the end, I didn't feel part of companies or part of the work, and moved down to Cornwall. And as soon as I moved down to Cornwall, because there were no theatres, the company, Knee-High, at that point was quite young, and we were working on beaches. We were rehearsing on beaches because we had nothing else. And I found that really refreshing. And for quite a long time, probably about 4 or 5 years, all our shows were made inwards or on a beach. And it gives you a freedom. And so this is the first stage. The freedom was that you can use weather, good or bad. You can use sunsets as part of the story. You use the space, you use the spirit of the space. But you can use water. You can splash around, you can wash things. You can use fire, and you can use ice. And that, I just found a wonderful playground. And then there was a point where we actually moved out of Cornwall. We were invited to Malta, and we took a show to Malta, and it was the first time I'd worked in an urban environment. It was the first time I was working in a town, and there were people all around, and I didn't know who these people were. I didn't know how the town worked. So we connected up with that community, and for me, that completed the circle. That I came out of a building, found the freedom of landscape, and in the end, found, I think, what Bruno calls society. I found people with stories that actually excited me, and they became part of the work, literally, directly.
So, Bruno, and just where do you source your inspiration from for the narrative? Bill's talking about taking it from the landscape and the.
Le paysage est une forme de démocratie.
I think that the landscape is a form of democracy.
Il est gratuit.
It's free.
Et on peut tous le partager.
And we can all share it.
Je crois que dans le théâtre, dans l'espace, il y a deux possibilités. La première, c'est d'inviter un réseau à des rendez-vous dans un espace, et la deuxième, c'est d'aller à l'endroit où il y a faire un théâtre d'intervention à la place où il y a déjà la circulation du public, déjà, pas du public, mais de la société.
So I think that to have theatre in space, you have two possibilities. Either you go out, you invite the network. You give an appointment, people have an appointment in that space, or you go and get this society I was talking about.
Voilà, mélanger le théâtre au mouvement de la ville, au mouvement de la route, du train, du transport, de l'habitat.
This is about a mix. You have to mix theatre with the movements of the city, the roads, transport, trains, etc.
C'est deux attitudes très différentes.
These are two very different attitudes.
I mean, as a member of the public, I don't often expect to encounter art in my everyday life. I mean, what is the purpose of that intervention for me?
Je crois que l'art est partout. Je crois encore que tout le monde est un artiste. Chaque personne est artiste, et de plus en plus dans notre société.
I think that art is everywhere, and every single one of us is an artist, and more so in our society.
Et c'est peut-être en rencontrant dans la rue des gens qui font des choses, qui proposent, qui mélangent, que des personnes qui sont pas des spectateurs au départ, qui sont des passants. Peuvent peut-être devenir spectateurs et aussi aller créer à un moment donné.
Maybe sometimes it's by meeting people in the streets, when you see people doing things, mixing things, then maybe the passerby can become a spectator and then in turn create.
I mean, I imagine that's quite a challenge for an artist. I mean, actually working with the public that are not just sitting there and being able to be controlled. I mean, is that a very different experience from when you were working in the black box? How you relate to an audience, how that audience relates to you? I mean, is it more fun?
It's fun and dangerous. But that's a choice. I mean, I think one of the things about working in a black box theatre is you have control. You've got control of the lights, you've got control of the sound, you have absolute control. People know where they're going to sit, they know that there's a relationship working here. And some people, that's absolutely what they love, and they love telling stories in that way. Certainly for me, I mean, Bruno's describing his experience. For me, getting out of that, straight away it blurs where a front row is. It you have an audience who takes a little bit of time, but you work out they're not going to sit down for this experience. That our work, most of the images you see up there of our work, people are on the journey. You'll gather them together, and then we set off, whether that's into the woods or into an old department store. And there's a wonderful moment of an audience not quite knowing, and there's an excitement and a sort of little bit fearful. There's an anticipation of what's going to happen, and a slight apprehension of what's going to happen. And I think that's a really good place to involve stories. And I get confused what's real and what isn't real. And I really enjoy an audience getting confused about what's real and not real. If we talk about the passion later, that was fairly extreme, and I really didn't know what was happening for a lot of that. But that, for me, that blur of worlds of where what's real, because everything around you is in the landscape or in those unconventional places. But you're also, for me, I'm also telling a story. And it might be different for Bruno, but for me, I'm telling a story. And so it's the world is amplified. People can fly in our stories. They disappear.
Really, your work's got a stronger focus, if I'm right in saying this, on like more of the image than a conventional narrative or story. Is that a very conscious decision on your part?
J'essaie de ne pas raconter l'histoire, parce que je pense que dans notre société, les gens qui racontent des histoires, ce sont les hommes politiques, les marchands.
I try not to tell a story because I think that in our society, people who do tell stories are politicians and dealers, sellers.
Je pense que tous les individus sont remplis de multitudes d'histoires.
I think that everybody has many stories inside them.
Et peut-être l'artiste peut proposer des petites étincelles. Qui permettent de continuer la propre histoire de chaque personne.
And maybe the artist can spark up something in each one of us that can continue the personal story.
Je ne cherche pas la catharsis de tout le monde pense à une même histoire au même moment avec le même début, la même fin.
I'm not thinking about one single story with the same start, the same middle, the same beginning. No. And the same end.
Et c'est bien quand il n'y a pas de début et pas de fin.
And it's actually quite good when you don't have a start and you don't have an end.
So does it not matter what order your performance is in then, like this evening? We could move it around and it wouldn't make any difference?
C'est comme un livre d'images. Nous avons notre histoire, bien sûr. Mais elle nous sert juste à construire le travail. C'est juste une méthode. Mais cette méthode, elle n'est pas intéressante pour le spectateur.
It's like a book full of images. Of course we have a story, but the story is a method. It helps us construct it, which is not important or interesting for the spectator.
L'image est notre médium. C'est une image vivante avec des acteurs, mais c'est notre moyen de parler à l'autre.
Our image is a lively image. It's a medium. It's a medium with actors, and it allows us to talk to other people.
On devrait apprendre aux enfants à lire les images.
We should teach children to read images.
Well, Bill, you're a self-declared storyteller. You say very clearly that you hunt the story. I mean, what's your relationship to what Bruno has just said? terms of storytelling and theatre?
I live and breathe story. And it's vitally, well, for us, it's vital, for me, it's vitally important, for the company, it's vitally important, because I find it very hard to make decisions about what something looks like or how you develop the next scene or whatever, unless I'm really clear about the story. But it is interesting. I'm also coming from a visual background, so a lot of the storyboarding, a lot of the developing of the story, I'll work on, and it's quite visual, and I don't use text that much to tell that story, or I try not to use text that much to tell the story, because outside, it's fallible. Sometimes you can't hear it. Sometimes you can't use that many words. You can't hold that. And if it's raining, it's really hard to hear it over the sound of anoraks being hit by water. So, as I found, there's a really strong story that works through. But the importance of that isn't, I need to tell a story. The importance of that is the journey that I want to take the audience on each time. I think I'm taking it on an emotional journey. But I can't legislate what that emotion is. You take them through a story arc physically, and I'm interested in the audience changing. Characters change, the story changes, but I'm really interested in the audience being in a different place than at the beginning. I don't know what that is. I don't care what that is in one way, but it's my duty to take them on that journey.
I like this idea of going through a journey, and I'm myself in this idea of journey.
So we're just going to agree, this is what...
Que l'art est un voyage. Et comme je disais tout à l'heure, il y a les deux possibilités. Soit un artiste emmène le public dans son voyage, soit l'artiste rentre dans le voyage social des autres.
I think that art is a journey, and again, as I was saying before, you have two possibilities. Either the artist takes the audience in that journey, or the artist goes and finds the social journey, for example.
What I was going to say was I also agree that because our work relies on sight, it relies on... sometimes we use food in show, people eat. All that is story, all that is narrative. The weather is narrative, the light disappearing as a show goes on, all that's part of the narrative. In my experience, and we do use less words because of that, in my experience, I'm not sure that in this country people read images as well or as strongly or trust them as much as I found in France and other countries. So I think there's an education there is an education here. Well, I mean, we're brought up with Shakespeare. Shakespeare, as soon as you go to the Globe, it's an auditorium. Shakespeare describes everything. We trust the word. In this country.
Have a literary tradition. But I guess if I'm hearing this correctly, it's not. We might have different views on what we understand the word story to mean. But is this about leaving room in the imagination of the audience to fill in the gaps, as opposed to being told, you know, what it is and where it starts and where it finishes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, one of the things I wanted to move on to actually talk much more about the site and place and the technical and practical challenges of doing so. I mean, it's a different kettle of fish working outdoors and in the public domain, yeah, as it is working inside in theatres. So I guess one of my first questions, and maybe actually Bill, I'll ask you this, is actually what drives the decision-making for you around working with a particular site? Is it practical, is it conceptual, or maybe it's a mixture of those?
When it's working at its best, I've in the old days, when I first did this, it was very simple because I was just going around Cornwall and somebody would say, "Have you thought about doing a show here?" Or I'd find a place, and you can fall in love with it, and that's you sort of need to do that. In the same way that somebody might be writing a script or whatever, everything in the show for me comes from that site, so I just have to love it. As the work's developed and it needs money, quite often somebody will offer a site. But the same thing happens. I mean, oddly for me, it doesn't really matter whether it's a beautiful site or an urban site or a rural site. Artistically, I'm intrigued. It has to have something. It has to have a spirit, and then you can do something with it. There is also a bit of a practical thing in my head, which is how much is it going to cost? Can you park there? And there's a whole other of things. But first, I try and get a feel of what that place is.
And Bruno, you've been here, yeah, for the last couple of days, working on installing waterfalls. I mean, what practical? Maybe give us people an idea of what kind of practical challenges that you've been facing here. And whether are they kind of typical, and what kind of considerations there are for people thinking about working outdoors? I mean, what are those big challenges, really, technically and physically?
Actuellement, on fait un théâtre sur l'eau, mais nous n'avons pas toujours travaillé sur l'eau. On a travaillé, on a creusé la terre pour fabriquer des labyrinthes pour que le public circule dans la terre. On a travaillé dans des grands immeubles. On a travaillé dans des bus. Et ici on est sur l'eau, depuis quelques années on travaille sur l'eau, on a décidé que le sol du théâtre, notre plancher, c'était l'eau. Les acteurs seraient directement sur l'eau. Donc c'est une complexité technique, mais elle n'est pas spécifique ici à Manchester ou ailleurs. Voilà, c'est un choix de... C'est une attitude vis-à-vis du théâtre et de l'espace. On a choisi ces dernières années de travailler sur l'eau, de dire l'eau, ça peut devenir notre théâtre.
At the moment here, we're having theatre on water. This has not always been the case. We have worked in the past in labyrinth, mazes. We've built mazes, there was some kind of circulation, we've worked in buildings, we've worked on buses, but now for a few years we've been working on water. And the actors are directly on water, and of course it is a technical specificity, it's quite particular, but it's not particular to Manchester. It's an attitude towards space, and water becomes the stage.
On choisit un mode d'intervention et... Ensuite, des structures nous invitent à venir dans leur ville pour réaliser cette intervention.
We choose one way to intervene, and then structures will invite us in their cities to demonstrate and to show this intervention.
Il n'y a pas un amour du lieu comme ça, il n'y a pas de romantisme vis-à-vis du paysage ou du lieu. C'est un choix de travailler sur l'eau dans la ville.
There is no love about the particular site. It's not about a romantic issue about the place or the landscape. It's the choice to work in the city. Travailler dans la ville, c'est ça?
Oui, l'eau dans la ville est morte. L'eau est morte.
Water is dead in the city. Water is dead.
Il n'y a plus les bateaux. Il n'y a plus le travail. L'eau dans la ville, c'est juste le miroir de, des bâtiments pour gagner un peu plus d'argent avec les bâtiments du bureau.
There are no boats left, no work with water anymore. Water is the mirror, just to make more money out of the buildings.
C'est de l'eau pour l'architecture.
Water is used for architecture.
Peut-être on peut essayer de mettre des mythologies contemporaines dans cette eau.
Maybe we can try and incorporate contemporary mythologies in the water.
On peut plus faire que ça.
On peut plus faire que ça. This is all we can do.
Non, j'exagère.
Maybe I exaggerate.
I noticed John Mossel, Walk the Plank, is over there as well. I think anybody who works outside has to enjoy chaos. Because it's getting harder because of almost everything. The wind started to pick up yesterday and Bruno was a little bit worried about things. But also you have health and safety. You have the amount of permissions you have to get for even the simplest things. It is a labour of love, I think, because you have to have a really strong reason to work outside, because actually there are a lot of reasons. You know, there's a lot of obstacles in the way of doing that, and it's not cheap. It's expensive to work outside a theatre. A theatre is a tool geared up to put stories in and to make it work. As soon as you try and do that outside, as soon as you try and do anything outside, that's everything has to be handled and dealt with and paid for.
I mean, it's interesting that both your works are very cinematic. From my, you know, you look at it and think, God, this is actually like cinema, really, what both of you are doing. But you chose not to work with the medium of film, for example. Because it's more expensive.
Which one are you asking?
I'm asking you, I'm asking both of you.
I come from a working class background. I didn't see theatre, but I saw movies. And so my first love was film. And when I started making theatre, where I felt comfortable was I did this show in Malta, next to the water, and I had to choreograph two speedboats that had to come in and swamp a tiny little box boat with a man dressed as a statue rowing. Such very similar to some of these images. And I realised that I was, it was like being in a movie. It was the easiest way to explain what I was doing to people. It was like the audience were the camera, the audience were inside it. But that thing of community, that thing of having real live human beings, both being part of it and ordinary people being part of it, that's really important to me. The people who played the council in Malta were the council, and they agreed to do it, and I thought that was wonderful. And then the people who are watching it are all friends of theirs, and so you get this sort of wonderful blurring. So it's like being in a Fellini film. I thought I'd died and got to heaven.
Have you thought about working with film?
Le cinéma, c'est pas ma manière de m'exprimer, mais je pense que la vidéo est quelque chose qui est en train de révolutionner le cinéma et qui va libérer la créativité de beaucoup, beaucoup de gens par le monde.
The cinema for me is not a way to express myself. However, videos are a revolution in cinema, and they're liberating and freeing creativity in many people.
Parce que la vidéo, c'est à la fois ça peut être une arme pour la vérité et aussi une arme pour la manipulation.
Because video can be used as a weapon for truth and also a weapon for manipulation.
Ça va beaucoup faire bouger la planète.
And this is something that will rustle up the whole planet.
I wanted to actually probe a bit more on the sight side, Bruno. Maybe you can talk a bit about this harmony that you seek, you know, between humans and nature, because one of the questions I had was whether beyond the actual making of art, whether your work is, you know, like a subtle kind of environmental activism.
Camargue, nous travaillons à. Nous avons créé un festival qui s'appelle Les Environnements, donc en deux mots, où on invite des publics à venir dans les réserves d'oiseaux, une fois que les oiseaux sont partis, au mois de fin juillet, début août, et on remplace les oiseaux par des artistes. Et oui, c'est une manière de faire venir dans ces endroits-là des publics très très différents qui seraient venus. Certains pour essayer de voir les oiseaux, d'autres des paysages. Et finalement, ils voient des artistes.
In Camargue, we created a festival called Environnement. That was a play on word in French, in this environnement. And we invited people there who, in bird reserves. So once the birds have left in July, August, the birds are then replaced by artists. So we gather a variety of people, different public who would come and see the landscape, and birds are there then to go and see artists.
Les publics de la ville qui viennent voir dans ces réserves d'oiseaux ne voient pas les oiseaux, ils ne peuvent pas voir les oiseaux, puisque le regard ne sait pas voir loin. Il est tout le temps arrêté par des bâtiments dans la ville et ils sont très déçus. Et quand on met des artistes, ils sont de toutes les couleurs, ils sont gros, on les voit bien et ils sont contents, ça récompense les oiseaux.
Because the audience from the city cannot see the birds. Their gaze is always too short-sighted. There's always a building, there's always something in the way. Whereas when they go there, they see the artist, it's full of colours. And they don't see the birds, but the artists instead.
And Bill, you live in Cornwall, yeah? You've got Eden. it's the green capital, isn't it, of the UK? But I mean, does your work cross over into that environmental agenda at all? Do you see the connection between what we're doing and that, or do you not work in Cornwall?
We work in Cornwall as much as we can, although there isn't an awful lot of money in Cornwall to work there as much as... I mean, originally I thought that's where I was going to work. Then started to explore the rest of the world, and actually it's fine. I'm very happy exploring the rest of the world as well. I'm an artist. You know, the thing I love doing is making worlds, making environments, putting a context together, but out of that you have a social responsibility. You have responsibility for the people you're working with. We're working on a show at the moment, which is it's almost like going right back to where we started. It's inside the woods, and I am trying to work out whether we need generators, whether we need is there a way of telling that story without bringing a whole lot of technology into the woods to do it. I don't know if we're going to be successful, but it feels important that everything is sort of lining up. That you're trying to keep that space true. The other thing I find we do, and this has happened in a number of shows, is that we end up being a catalyst for people. Through us, they can have a voice to say things. They can do things. They can protest, and that's fine. I think, but we don't do that overtly. But through the work, I think it comes out.
Okay, well, Bruno, I'm going to ask you one final question. I think you can open it up to the floor. But seeing as you're presenting the work here tonight, I mean, do you have any hopes or aspirations for how people's relationship to that place outside might change? because of the work that you're doing on the water.
Non, c'est juste une proposition. C'est comme un rêve, c'est juste une proposition de rêve. Une manière d'utiliser l'eau comme un rêve. Juste ça. Mais quand même, ça se termine comme un cauchemar un peu à la fin. Mais ça ne changera bien sûr rien. Je ne cherche pas à changer le monde ni les gens.
No, it's just a proposal. It's like a dream, and we use water as a dream only. And at the end, you will see that it comes up as some kind of nightmare. So no, I'm not here to change anything. I'm not here to change people or the world.
That's a good note to finish discussion. Thank you, Bill. A goal for a long time, I think, talking about some of the issues that you raised. But so I think I'd like to open up to the floor now. We've got about 10-15 minutes for questions. What I'd like to do, just try and manage this, is if you could put your hand up if you wanted to ask a question, and also to introduce yourself before you do, and say who you want to ask the question to. So do we have anyone going to kick off the question?
Clarify, the pictures and the photos you're seeing here are a mix of our practices, both of our practices of shows and performances.
You have to tell the difference. You have to. It's a competition later. You can spot
yeah,
them. We wear more clothes than his.
In a rural landscape.
Just do it, really. Because I sort of fell into it by accident, and we started. There would be a touring show with Nihai, and it went out, and I ended up with a company or some people. I mean, they weren't on a payroll. We just ended up with some people, and a Cornish summer, and it just felt like we could do something, and we didn't quite know what it was. And so we started this idea of the very first thing was we called them wild walks, and it was just little small audiences of about 50 who we just took through the woods, and then every time we did it, there was just more intervention, there was more installation, there was. And we got a confidence, and we started to learn the grammar, and we started to learn the techniques, and then your ambition gets a little bit more and a little bit more. And then one thing I did realise was that quite soon the show that I just took over a beach. There was a river and a beach for about 3 weeks, and we had more people, more audiences wanting to see that. The we were handling with the show, the proper show that was going out and doing sort of one night stands, but just being there gathered momentum, and we sort of covered our costs. There wasn't any big money coming into that. I mean, one of the things with Bruno's practice is everything is free, and I've never been able to do that. And I've also made a choice now that I wouldn't. So the money coming back from that was just about enough to cover that experience. We weren't making any profit out of it, but we learnt a lot. Does that answer? Do it.
Just to find out how long does it take from
théâtre complètement sur l'eau. Donc il faut trouver des partenaires qui vont nous prendre des risques avec nous, de faire les premières répétitions sur l'eau, d'avancer comme ça. Et pour faire un bon spectacle sur l'eau, ça prend 3 ans, 4 ans, 5 ans.
As we work on water, the productions are very long. There isn't the money available very often to rehearse and have the whole stage on water, so we need to find partners that take risks and that accompany us so that we can rehearse in a proper way. So it might take between 3, 4, up to 5 years maybe.
Le spectacle qu'on prépare, on prend l'énergie du lieu pendant 3 jours avec des photovoltaïques panels et on stocke cette énergie, de la lumière, et on s'en sert pour on la rend au public le soir, pour faire les lumières et le son et les machines. Et ça, c'est aussi un travail très très long.
With the new show we have, we generate electricity, we generate energy thanks to photovoltaic panels for 3 days, and then we stock the energy and we use it in the evening for the show for lights, for machines and for sound, which is very long.
L'idée, c'est de prendre l'énergie du lieu et de la rendre au public.
The idea is to harness the energy from the site and to give it back to the audience.
D'être loin du showbiz.
To be very far away from the showbiz business.
For us, again, I suppose just as a comparison, when we were first doing those shows in the woods or a show on the beach, you could probably turn the thing around in about a month, have an idea and do it. Because of the scale that we now work on, it's about 2 years. It takes about 2 years to find the site, to get the permissions, and particularly to find all the money. So it has to be a good idea to last that length of time.
It's quite a commitment.
Yeah, you can go off it.
Yeah, there's some Fran, gentleman there with his laptop on, yeah.
Hi, I've got a question for you. Why water? What made you wake up one morning to society? Do you water? Why not?
Parce que l'eau est plus libre que le sol.
Because water is freer than ground or land.
C'est jamais la même.
It's never the same.
Et l'eau dans la ville, il n'y a pas de publicité, il n'y a pas de voiture à part les nôtres. Mais c'est un espace qui est resté très, très libre.
Water in the city, in the city, there are no cars except of ours, so it's something that's very free.
L'eau, c'est comme un écran.
Water is like a screen.
On peut travailler dessus ou travailler à travers.
You can work on it, or you can work through it.
Et puis nous habitons sur une île, et l'eau, c'est notre quotidien.
And we live on an island, so water is our day-to-day, it's what we live day-to-day.
That a question for both of us?
It's for me, it's for me.
It's for me. it's what I did. When I was your age, all I did was draw and paint. I didn't know I was an artist, but that's... I didn't talk very much. I drew. And now it's the only thing I can do.
Hello, my name is Faye.
I mean, I'll say something first because, and then Bruno can speak. He because he knows more countries. For me, I was really worried about going to Malta because I didn't know quite how the audiences were gonna were they gonna be very very different. Would they understand the grammar? Would they understand the rules that we'd set up or whatever? Because you know, just moving around. The big difference in Malta, which was a big surprise, was that we're used to audiences making curves. They make natural arcs around anything we do. And in Malta they didn't. And it took me 2 days to realise that they were standing in the shade. Basically, audiences, if the work is true and it is universal, if it's a good piece of work, people understand it. When we were working in France, we did have some text. We just did it in French in France, and because it is mainly imagery and it is mainly the situation and like an action film, I was really pleased because the work that goes to France hasn't always gone down very well from the UK. It's too text-based, it's too chatty, it's too much story. And I was really pleased that our work was regarded and people really found it exciting and quite different. I took a show to China and we were horrified because everybody was on their mobile phones. The whole audience had a mobile phone and they were talking about it. And we got a little bit, could we stop this happening? And then they said, no, they love it. They're talking to their friends about it. So, fine.
Okay, we've probably got time for one more question.
Does Bruno want to answer that one?
Okay.
Je pense que on montre souvent nos spectacles à des populations qui n'ont jamais vu un acteur, qui n'ont jamais rencontré un acteur, jamais vu un acteur.
I think that we often show our performances to audiences that have never seen actors.
Et pour eux, on jouait au Japon il y a 3 semaines dans un petit port pour l'inscription du mont Fujiyama au patrimoine mondial de l'humanité. Et on entendait les réactions du public quand on jouait, mais en France, on n'entend jamais les réactions. Parce que le public est très statique. Et là, on entendait les personnes qui étaient là s'exclamer comme si l'acteur était un objet magique.
For example, 3 weeks ago, we were working in Japan. We showed our work in Japan on the Fujihama, Mount Fujihama, belonging to the United Nations World Heritage. And we heard people, we heard the audience, we could hear noises, whereas in France it's very often very static. But there, they saw the actor as some kind of magic, something magical.
Okay, one final question. Has anyone got a burning question they want to ask before we
It's time on you, depending on who's got an answer. You spoke earlier about people finding sites through people that will work with you who are prepared to take risks. Is that getting easier or harder with the changes in the economic situation?
It was almost impossible in London to find a site. Almost impossible. Because if there was a good site or there was an empty site, nobody was prepared to... because there's money involved and they could develop it or something could come at any time. So they didn't want... And we were talking about, you know, you're trying to put this site together a year in advance. There was less, and there is less... generosity, I think, in terms of planning ahead and going, yeah, this is we'll set this up for you. I mean, I enjoyed working in those places of limbo, you know, and they were something, and they had had a past, and quite often they're going to be turned into something, and people are a little bit wary about the future, and it's actually a good place to be. There used to be loads of places like that in Cornwall. There's a lot less. I can't speak in other countries, but that's certainly true in Britain. It's harder to get sites, and it's harder to get permission to have those sites in the future.
And I think, you know, where outdoor arts is headed in terms of the future is probably a subject for another discussion. So maybe we can bring Bill and Bruno back to have that one in the future.
Aussi beaucoup de les publics vont les gens dans la ville vont aussi faire du théâtre, vont prendre l'art entre leurs mains, parce que l'espace public a une importance. C'est l'espace des révolutions, l'espace public, on le voit dans certains pays, et c'est un théâtre social, l'espace du théâtre social.
I think that in cities, audiences and people in cities can take art, can master and take control of art, because public spaces are where revolutions happen. And it is a space for this social theatre as well.
L'espace public et Facebook sont les deux espaces sociaux.
Public space and Facebook are the two social spaces.
Well, thank you. I think we need to close it there. But big, very big thank you to both of you for being so accommodating in terms of just getting under the skin of things. I think it makes the experience that we'll have later also more meaningful when we understand what goes on in an artist's head, and also what's behind the scale of what we're going to see tonight. So thank you very much to both of you. Thanks for some really great questions. And I'd also like to thank the Lowry for giving us this space, and to Allie Francais for supporting Cindy being here, and also to Keys Culture, who is the presenter of this event. We're going to be having a reception, a pre-performance, post-talk reception, which is going to I think start 8:30. Fran, is it in the pavilion? The promenade space in the Lowry. You're all more than welcome to come and have a drink with us. Alternatively, there are a number of places in this sunny evening for you to drink before the performance. And hopefully you'll be seeing the performance tonight. We put 9:30 on the leaflet. It will be about 10 or so minutes after that, but that's just to get the audience into place. So thanks very much for coming. And let's go.
It needs examples. We need to talk about examples.
The Olympics was quite a very particular thing, and it was more like a pageant. But it connects with a lot of the work that I do, and it connects.
Yeah.
Everybody has to get an idea from somewhere.
Yeah, of course. That's how the world goes.
It's exactly. Steal from the best, apparently.
Well, they're great. I mean, they're
of a bed. Yeah. I mean, we.